Hello, I'm Dale Jones with Westpath Benefits and Investments, and I'm here today with Martin Bauer to answer some of the pension-related questions we've received as some local churches are considering disaffiliating from the United Methodist Church. Today, we'll focus on pension liabilities and what that means for churches considering disaffiliation. Martin, some of the people have said that the United Methodist clergy pension plans are fully funded, and therefore there's no unfunded pension liability. Is that correct? Are the pension plans truly fully funded?
Well, that's actually a much more complicated question to answer than it might seem. The answer is actually both yes and no. It depends on how you look at it and the purpose for which funding is being calculated. Let me explain. It would seem intuitive to assume for fully funded to mean that Westpath has all the money right now to make all the pension payments it will owe over future decades to retired clergy. And I can understand why people might think that way. Based on that definition, however, the answer is no, the plans are not fully funded. But that's not what fully funded really means when actuaries talk about funding pension plans. And it's this actuarial definition of fully funded that is much more appropriate for long-term obligations such as pensions.
So, from an actuarial perspective, what does fully funded really mean?
Well, simply put, fully funded means that you have at least as much in assets, that is, money that's invested in stocks, bonds, and other investments, as you have pension liabilities. Of course, the next question is, what are pension liabilities? For pensions, the definition of liabilities is the present value of all expected future benefit payments.
Present value of all expected future benefit payments.
That's
now,
right.
So what does that really mean?
Well, the present value of a payment in the future is the amount in today's dollars that you need to set aside today or in the present for it to grow with a set interest rate to the amount needed in the future. Let's look at it in simple savings terms. If I need $1,000 10 years from now, I do not need to set aside $1,000 today. If you assume an annual 6% interest rate, then the present value of that $1,000 payment 10 years from now is $558.39. That's because that $558.39 in today's dollars will grow to exactly $1,000, assuming it earns 6% interest every single year.
And so how does this translate to United Methodist pension plan obligations?
Mm-hmm. Well, with a large pension plan that covers tens of thousands active as well as retired pastors, it's a bit more complicated than the single payment savings example I just used, but the principle is the same. For all years in the future, our actuaries calculate the benefit payments that are expected to be made in those years. To do that, they use certain assumptions about when people will retire, how long they will live, and so on. Of course, it's not 100% precise, but it's built using a multitude of data and information on what has happened in the past to help inform the future, and that certainly gives us a good track record to run on. We also have to remember that we're talking about payments that will be made well beyond the 10 years in the example I used. In some cases, payments will be made 50, 60, or 70 years out.
Thanks for that explanation, Martin. That's really helpful. I'd like to follow up on how you determine the interest rate when calculating the liabilities. In the example that you gave, you used a 6% rate, but how do you know the right rate to use?
Yeah, well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? You've actually hit on the key concept and, in fact, on the primary reason why I said yes and no to your original question of whether the plans are fully funded. We actually use two separate interest rates depending on the purpose for which funding is being calculated. One interest rate is what we call the funding interest rate. And if you use that to determine the liability, you get what we call the funding liability. The other interest rate is called the market interest rate, and, well, you guessed it, that gives you the market liability. Let's start with the funding liability and the funding interest rate. For an open, ongoing pension plan, we invest in our assets in a mix of stocks and bonds. The funding interest rate is the expected return on those investments. For the clergy plans, that's typically somewhere in the neighborhood of 6%, which is between the expected bond returns of maybe 3 to 4% and expected returns in the stock market of around 8%. I mean, don't hold me to these investment return figures. They change over time due to changes in the stock market and other changes in the US and frankly global economies that are far beyond Westpath's control. I share them to help our viewers understand the concept of the funding rate. Once we have that rate, we then use this funding interest rate, say 6%, to determine the funding liability I mentioned a few minutes ago. And at any point, that's our funding target. In other words, we're trying to make sure that the plans have at least that much in assets. When that happens, we say the plan is fully funded on a funding basis. And on that measure, the clergy plans are fully funded. That's probably what a lot of our viewers remember. The church has actually done a good job funding the pension plans, and as a result, the funding level of the plans is right where we want it to be. But again, we need to be a bit careful. Fully funded in this sense is both a moment in time target as well as our best estimate using actuarial methods. We really count on these future investment returns or interest in order for Westpath to be able to make all the future pension payments over many years and in fact decades into the future.
Okay, so that helps us understand the funding interest rate and how that determines the funding liability. But you also mentioned a second interest rate, the market interest rate. Can you explain how that's used to calculate the market liability?
Of course. Well, the market liability is the liability calculated based on an interest rate that is based purely on bond yields. The market interest rate, in other words, the 3% or thereabouts I talked about a little bit ago. It's called market liability because that's the measure the open market, meaning insurance companies, use to assess pension obligations. And on that basis, the clergy pension plans are not fully funded, meaning the amount of assets currently in the plan is less than the market liability. And that's why I answered your original question of whether the plans are fully funded with yes and no. The plans are fully funded on a funding basis, but they are not fully funded on a market basis.
So why do we have these two ways of measuring plan funding, and which one should we be looking at?
Yeah, good question. Both funding liability and market liability are important, and that's why we've been looking at both and have been communicating both for many years. What it comes down to is risk, specifically the risk of not achieving the targeted investment return and the consequences when that happens. Remember when I said earlier that we invest in a mix of stocks and bonds? Well, why do we do that? Specifically, why do we invest in stocks? Well, we do that because over the long term, stocks are expected to produce higher investment returns than bonds. You have to remember that the pension plan's assets come from only two sources: contributions made by the churches and investment earnings. That means if you have higher investment earnings, you can get away with lower pension contributions, which is, of course, what every church wants. The challenge is that the investment returns aren't guaranteed. We all know that markets have normal cycles of up and down periods. We saw investment returns reach record highs in 2021 and then recently hit very uncomfortable lows in early 2022. But that's not really a problem. It is understood by all parties that there can be some periods of lower investment returns. And if that happens and our actuaries estimate that the plan needs additional contributions, then the plan sponsors, meaning the annual conferences, are there to make additional contributions to bring the plan back on track in terms of funding. That's what happens today, and that's what we expect to continue to happen going forward.
But doesn't it cause a problem and frustrations for conferences and for their local churches when they have to pay more?
Absolutely. I mean, nobody likes to pay more. But let's talk about the alternatives. And you'll understand that conferences wouldn't like those any better. Again, the biggest source of risk for a plan that is currently fully funded to become underfunded in the future is its exposure to stocks. That's why those are called risky assets. The alternative, however, is to invest only in bonds, which are also called fixed income instruments. Unfortunately, bonds don't have the same expected investment return as stocks have. In fact, long-term returns on bonds have recently been right around 3%, as I said before. And if we invested exclusively in bonds, we could eliminate much of the funding risk and predict the funded status of the plans with much more certainty. But there's a good reason why we don't invest exclusively in bonds. If we invested only in bonds, the interest rate would be 3%. Using our $1,000 simple savings example from earlier, if our interest rate is 3%, you would have to put away $744.09 today to have $1,000 in 10 years. That is significantly higher than the $558.39 at a 6% interest rate. And similarly for plan sponsors, this lower interest rate would increase their liability and they would have to make much higher contributions to get to a point where the plan is fully funded. Let me say it this way. It really comes down to a question of pay me now or maybe pay me later. Most plan sponsors prefer paying less now and taking the risk of potentially having to make some additional payments later on over having to pay significantly more right away.
Well, I can see why conferences would prefer that option. And in fact, it seems to me a lot like choosing to put some of my own retirement contributions into stocks rather than all into fixed income, because I'm certainly hoping that those will return more for me over time.
Precisely. You got it.
So your explanation are helpful in understanding what the pension liabilities are and how they're determined. So let me ask you this. The withdrawal liability payment, that is the payment that a disaffiliating church has to make to the UMC annual conference that it's leaving, it's based on market liabilities. So some might ask why it's not based on funding liabilities.
Well, I'm really glad that you asked, because that's the context in which we hear the questions about funding versus market liabilities most often these days. The rules, as set out by General Conference in 2019, specify that a disaffiliating church should be assessed a withdrawal liability to pay for their share of any pension plan underfunding, and that the measure to determine the underfunding should be based on, quote, market factors similar to a commercial annuity provider. In other words, what we've described in terms of market liability plus a risk premium, that's precisely the liability General Conference has required Westpath to use in determining the conference's overall underfunding on the pension liability. But then it's up to the annual conference to determine the fair share amount for each local church, just like the conference normally determines apportionments and other costs church by church. Consider this. If a local church disaffiliates from the UMC, it will leave all of the responsibilities for the pension plan with the annual conference that it is leaving, and by extension with the UMC churches that stay connected to the annual conference. That includes the responsibility to guarantee benefit payments 60, 70, or even more years into the future, as well as to make additional contributions to the fund should those become necessary in the future. Remember when I said earlier that funding a pension plan is a matter of pay me now or pay me later? Or more precisely, it's a matter of pay me more now, or maybe if markets are worse than expected, pay me more later. Well, if more is needed later to fund pension benefits earned in the past, once a disaffiliating church is gone from the UMC, it will not be around to contribute more at that point. As such, it is being asked to pay some amount now before it leaves. In that sense, the withdrawal liability payment is an insurance premium that is necessary to be permanently relieved from the potential for future pension contributions. In fact, let me emphasize this last point on insurance some more. Insurance is always about transferring risk. In this case, a church that is leaving the UMC is transferring the risk of future contributions to the annual conference and to the churches that stay connected to the UMC. The premium for this insurance is the withdrawal liability payment, and the intent of how it is calculated is for it to be similar to the amount if this risk was transferred to a commercial insurance company. The fact that the annual conference is effectively asked to act as an insurance company rather than an outside commercial insurance company really shouldn't impact the cost of the insurance.
Well, that's certainly different than how I've heard some people talk about it, Martin. In fact, I've heard some people say that the withdrawal liability is somewhat arbitrary and, in fact, meant to be an obstacle or even a penalty for churches seeking to disaffiliate.
Yeah. Westpath recognizes that the withdrawal liability payments established by the 2019 General Conference can be a financial burden and an obstacle to a local church's ability to disaffiliate from the UMC. The purpose of the withdrawal payment is to protect the plan, and specifically the plan participants, meaning all the clergy who are in the plan, regardless of whether they now belong to the United Methodist Church, the Global Methodist Church, another denomination, or some independent church. The purpose is to make sure that those churches that remain in the UMC don't carry the burden of paying for unfunded pension liabilities for benefits earned in the past for the futures, for the churches that have left. The General Conference requires the church that's leaving to pay its fair share of the unfunded pension liability. And let me just add this one last thing. While Westpath is bound by the rules of the pension plans and the Book of Discipline, we are here to support churches and conferences throughout this process.
Absolutely. Well, that's it, folks. And Martin, thanks for joining me today to share this important information with our viewers. Your explanations have provided a better understanding of what drives the withdrawal liability and why it's necessary, and I hope our viewers find this information as helpful as I do. For those of you who've taken time to watch this video, feel free to leave us a question or a comment at the General Conference page on our website. Westpath.org, WESPATH.ORG. And thank you, and grace and peace to each of you.